Leon Goldenberg, right now we're talking about a council race. A council race right next door to me. As a matter of fact, you know how next door to me? It is across the street from me. And that is, if I'm correct, the 48th Council District. But Binyamin Mendet, who's on the phone with me now, will correct me if I'm wrong. And we're going to talk about what is important in this council district and why Binyamin is running for this seat. Binyamin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Leon. And you are correct. It is the 48th district.
Okay. Sometimes I'm right. Some of the issues, I think everybody knows the issues that are important in the Orthodox community, which is yeshiva education, the government not interfering in it. But really, being a councilman is about day-to-day issues, picking up the trash, allowing people to put their trash out on a Friday afternoon, which is important in our community. It's really small things. It's getting a light, or in my case, getting a light uninstalled. I'd love to get some of those lights uninstalled. They're putting them up on every corner by me. How do you see your job on a day-to-day basis?
So you're completely right. It's you know, obviously there are bigger picture issues that are, you know, my overall goals. But obviously, as a council person, I am a public servant at the end of the day. And it's, you know, people don't always call you about the bigger issues. You know, people live their lives and they have their own issues and things that are that they have to deal with. And one of the things that is important to me is to make sure that the office has very good constituent services and that we're not merely a 311, but we are a team that works with the community to amplify their voice, to get what needs to be done. So, for example, if somebody calls up and it's, let's say, about the trash or about installing a light or a speed camera, whatever it is, one person calling 311 or two people calling 311 is, you know, a good step, you know, to reach out to the city. But obviously, coming from a council person's office, it amplifies their voice and can get things done faster and sometimes can actually get the thing done instead of just sitting somewhere in a back room. So to me, the most important part of a city council member's job is to make sure that he or she is always available to the community and answers as quick as possible and gets things done.
So that means all the speed cameras and all the red light cameras, you're going to get rid of them.
Okay. For your mouth to God's ears. But,
okay. Let's talk about some serious stuff. We know that that's not happening.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some two serious issues. You're coming into a council that is very left right now and will be further to the left. How will you be able to work with them and to get bills passed that are important? Now, not all of your community is Orthodox, that's for sure, but a large part of your community is Russian Jews and other minorities also, but more a more conservative district than most of the districts that you have in New York City. How are you going to accomplish getting bills passed with having to deal with a very far out left council and possibly a mayor? Hope not, but hope possibly.
For sure. So, very good question. My plan is working with people behind the scenes. At the end of the day, obviously, you know, when you look at Twitter, you look at many different social media platforms and also the news, it looks like everything is very hyper-polarized. And there are many situations in which situations are polarized. And people have differing opinions. You know, you see the candidates as they're running, you see their platforms, and those are definitely not my platforms. My platform is a very, very moderate Democratic platform. And in terms of working with people behind the scenes, a lot of elected officials are actually friendly with each other. I know that, you know, there are certain elected officials that do not get along, and that's fine. I don't have to get along with everybody. But at the end of the day, when we have to get something done, I contact the elected officials that I'm friendly with, and we work something out. You know, if it requires me to vote on something that they need or to support something that they need, obviously something, I would support something that doesn't harm our district or our or is antithetical to our values, obviously, but something that I could help them so that they can help us in return. And these are ways that usually people pass laws. It's if I just look at somebody and I say, hey, look, their values in general don't comport with me or my constituents, then, you know, I'm not really going to get laws passed, right? Because the city council's vast majority is very progressive, leaning left. So it's about working, finding common ground with people so that we can get things done. And plus, even people that are more progressive, you know, or they lean more left, these people still also need to get their initiatives passed. They need support as well. And the question is, you know, can I help so that they can help our communities, and our district as a whole in return?
Thank you. There's an issue that's coming up and that nobody is focused on right now. I was very focused on it 9 years ago, and that's redistricting. I actually testified on all three levels, city, state, and federal level. And if you look at the districts the way they are now, you will see that I was not successful in arguing, because the Orthodox community has been chopped into little bits and pieces. So although they couldn't completely knock us out, and that's why Semperfelde has a district, well, also that was Republican-led, and Kalman Yeager has a district that's very heavily Orthodox. It was impossible completely, but if you take a look at Flatbush, and if you take a look at in Congress, we're represented, I believe, by 5 different members of Congress. And we need people to come and to testify. What do you see your role in that? And they're going to be doing the same thing in the council again, trying to chop us into bits so that we don't, God forbid, bring a Republican into office.
Great question. And this is something that I'm talking about more and more often. People are, you know, and you're right, it's something that is not being talked about in our community. First of all, just to, you know, bring everybody up to speed, I think, Leon, you did a great explanation, but just to get to my answer, I also want to expound on it a little bit more. People don't realize that every 10 years, I mean, after a census, people get to redistrict. Elected officials kind of redistrict based on population and a few other factors. One of the important things for people to remember is that the elected officials, the majority in this city, is obviously Democrat, and therefore they get to redistrict in their manner. It's concerning because they can go over to our district, just like you said, Leon, and chop up the Jewish vote away, also away from the Russian-speaking vote as well, to make sure that a person that's a more moderate Democrat like myself cannot be elected. And, you know, obviously that harms both of our communities, the Russian-speaking community and the Jewish community as well. It's important to have somebody in office that is aligned with those values completely, that can fight the city council. And this is kind of where my role comes in, to fight the city council as much as possible to keep, for example, to keep as much Orthodox Jews in the district as possible, so that we can have our representation. If we get split up to about, right now we have a pretty good percentage of Jews in the district. I believe it's about 40-45%. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Jews, yes, not Orthodox. Yes.
Well, Jews, that's what I'm talking about. So we Jews have about 40-45% in the district. If you know, if somebody that doesn't necessarily care for that comes into office, they could, you know, listen to the city council, and they can tell him, hey, you know, I don't really want to deal with the Jewish vote that much. I don't want to do that. And let's lower my district to about 30% or 25%, move those 25 somewhere else or whatever percentage. And now the Orthodox Jews, or Jews actually in general, have less of a population in 2 districts now to have meaningful representation and have their voice heard.
It's going to be a major issue, and I am not looking to cut you off, but we're running out of time. It really deserves a show on its own, redistricting, because it's going to be a major factor in another year from now, in 2022. Again, my guest has been Binyamin Bendet, who is running for the 48th Council District. The election is June 22nd. That is the only election that counts. The only election is June 22nd. If you don't vote June 22nd, don't bother to go to polls in November. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So now I have with me Maria Mark, who is running for the 48th Councilmatic District in Brooklyn, actually just across the street from where I live. People say that I was cut out of the district. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. Maria, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here today.
So let's talk about issues that are important to the community. I think one of the things that's critical, and people don't realize how important that is, basic constituent services. Is that something that would be a priority in your office?
Oh, absolutely. I did over a decade of constituent services myself. I know how important that is and how important it's to do it in an environment where people not only speak the same language as you, but also have the same cultural competency.
So let me ask you this. Let's get a little bit of your background. You're probably the only one that's running that actually has been, I hate to say the word, in this business, this line of work, basically most of your career. So let's just quickly give us a little bit of your history.
Sure. So I started working for the City Council in 2010. Worked for Council Member Lou Fidler at that point. I did some legislation. I did some scheduling, some budget issues, and most importantly, the constituent services. After that, I worked for Heim Deutsch, also on the City Council for just over 2 years, and then Alan Maisel in the Council for a little bit more than 2 years after that, and then for the administration for just under two.
So you've been working in this for 8 years? Maybe even a little bit more. Okay, so this is an area that you understand. You're coming into a council, you're basically, if I'm correct, you're a centrist Democrat. Would that be a good way to classify you?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
And you don't believe in defunding the police?
Oh, absolutely not. We have to actually put more resources into a lot of programs that have to do with the police instead of cutting.
So how are you going to work in a council that is really moving to the left, and where defunding the police is becoming such a major catcall, even though just the other week when you had the murder in Time, not the murder, the shootings in Times Square, suddenly everybody comes out of the woodwork. No, we don't really mean that. But how do you work with a council like that?
I think there are a lot of programs that people should be funding that even with folks that are screaming about defunding the police, they'd be excited to work with. And so there's definitely that middle ground. But in general, we've seen a big call for more police in transit, even from some folks who may have originally said something like, you know, maybe we shouldn't be putting in more money to NYPD. So I think that there are some middle grounds, but also it's about compromise. You have to know how to work with everybody, whether they're all the way to the right, all the way to the left, somewhere in the middle. Either way, you have to make that middle ground for whatever issue. But something like Asian Hate Crimes Task Force, which is currently unfunded, it's all voluntary, and something like that, I believe that there is possibility to get more money into that program that I don't believe that the folks that are calling for defunding the police would disagree with.
I hear. It's a major issue in our community, and, you know, the communities, the district is probably about 20-25% Orthodox. Would you say that sounds like a fair number? And also about probably that size Russian Jewish or Russian period, not, you know, specifically Jewish, although, you know, most of the Russians in this community are Jewish. And what do you see as the biggest issues facing this community? Is it different than any other community? Or are we looking at the same problems?
I think that there's a lot of concern with how people feel when it comes to safety. I think there's a lot of concern when it comes to education. With this particular community, there's a big question about not just yeshivas, but generally non-public education and how that's supposed to be, seen, and what kind of services should be put in. And that's something that's very, very key, because things like security should never, just because you're going to a non-public school does not mean you shouldn't be having that security or certain services like busing and school lunch and the therapist that, whether they're speech therapists or, occupational therapists that those children need. So that's a key thing. And even on the public school end, making sure that we keep programs like Gifted and Talented and the SHSATs are very, very important. And then the safety issue. I think that people don't necessarily feel safe outside when they're hearing that there are a lot of crimes going on. They're concerned about potential bias attacks, whether it's because somebody is wearing a yarmulke outside, whether it's somebody who's got a Magen David on. Those are very, very, very real issues.
Real concerns. And since I wear a yarmulke, of course, and people in our community are identifiably Jewish, there are a lot more incidents of anti-Semitism that are not reported. If somebody drives by in a car and just screams out, hey, you kike, I hate to use the word, but, I've heard it enough times. Mm-hmm. We don't go to the police and say, a car drove by. So the incidents are much, much greater in our community. And that's something that a lot of Jews, and I hate to say the ones that live on the Upper East Side and, areas and now not identifiably Jewish don't go through. And that's really an issue. And we think that the police are a force for good. Yes, can you always do something to improve yourself? Yes. I think I'm the only person I know that I'm perfect. But other than that, everybody can improve themselves. And that's just reality. So I think that's really a major, major problem that we have. What yeshiva education with what it's a state issue, but at the end of the day, the city will also be if when they issue new regulations, which they're about to issue, they just mentioned it the other week, that they will be issuing regulations. Where do you stand on that issue? Should the state education department be getting involved in yeshiva education and other non-public school education?
Of course. I think that there is this huge misconception that if you're going to a public school, that there is one set of rules and one set of criteria for their curriculum, and everybody that's going to be going to public education is getting this equal education. And then if you're going to yeshiva, there's this idea that maybe that school is not giving you the correct education or, something on that level. And I think that is so incredibly general and not accurate as to what's actually going on. I know people who have gone through the yeshiva their entire lives, and the secular education was on par and even better than what they might have gotten in public school. And so if there is a curriculum that the state wants to put out and make it public, and a yeshiva decides to take that curriculum, that's fine. I don't think anybody has any objection. But ultimately, a parent is going to know what kind of education they would like to see for their child. Not all people are going to want to put their kids in public school, and maybe they want to have this additional education that yeshivas do provide and other non-public schools provide. And so it's up to the parents to, they can go to the school and they they can say, you know, what is your curriculum? And I think that that's every parent's right to be able to choose a curriculum that works for them.
Okay, thank you very much. Our time is up. If anybody wants to, you know, follow you, where would they go on Twitter? Where would they go on your website to look for you?
Sure. They can go on our website at Mark2021. That's M-A-R-K-H 2021. On Twitter, I'm at Brooklyn Maria, spelled M-A-R-I-Y-A. Sorry to make it a little bit more complex.
Right.
And on Facebook, you can find me at Maria Mark for City Council.
Good luck on the race.
Thank you so much, and you have a wonderful rest of your day.
So now I have with me Amber Adler, who's running for City Council seat in the 48th District. For those that don't know, that was Chaim Deutsch's seat, who was term limited out and is out of office now for other reasons which we won't go into. Amber, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell me, we're coming into a City Council that's going to be very progressive. How do you see working as an Orthodox woman, working with the City Council and trying to get things that are important to our community done?
Well, yeah, definitely. As an Orthodox woman, an Orthodox mother of two young boys, there's definitely a lot that I bring to the table, a lot of unique perspective that other people coming in don't have, and it's extremely important for our community. Now, I have been building relationships across the city for many years because I've been helping the community for many, many years. So I think what I'm bringing with me is a network of people that I've already started having conversations with to benefit our community. Many topics specifically relating to fighting hate and bigotry, anti-Semitism, as we know, has been on the rise for a number of years now. And I've been helping fight that on an educational level by bringing a curriculum to public high schools and whatnot. There are other stereotypes, I think, that I've been working to break, and networking with many people that are now running for office and, you know, people around them to really just get a foothold for our community as a Jewish community, also as a community of Southern Brooklyn, to be able to really work with everyone coming in to the council.
What do you see as the biggest issue facing our community? Is it the same issue that's facing every other community? Lost jobs?
Oh, can you repeat that again? I'm sorry.
What do you see as the biggest issue facing our community? Is it really almost everything that's facing every other community, which is about jobs and safety?
Well, I mean, definitely those are two big topics right now. When I speak with people, I've spoke with thousands and thousands of people at this point across the district. I hear a lot in regards to safety. Even just in the past few months, we've had two shootings in the, we'll say Avenue M and Ocean Parkway area. That is definitely new to this district, these types of things. Everyone's concerned about it. We've had Semitic type attacks. Even the former candidate was attacked a number of months ago now. But safety is definitely on everyone's mind. I think that also a lot to do with just getting back, I don't want to say getting back to normal, but that, you know, what's next? I want to know, you know, people want to know, how are they going to be supporting their families in the upcoming years? When our business is going to be back, in a sense that people, you know, can really get back to a stable pattern of things. This is what everyone's looking for. So those are the top two. Those are basically the top two things I've been hearing. There's a lot of things that I personally really support in regards to recovery that deal with child care and economic stimulus. There are a lot of ways that we could help people in the community by getting an expansion on programs like UPK, but also 3K, which is paid for by both the city and the state, depending on some things. But it helps, you know, get children into childcare, get families to be able to have two parents working, and you know, save people money.
But that right now is available to everybody, 3K and UPK, because of...
Yeah, so UPK right now is available to everyone. We do need some more locations, definitely in the district. 3K, however, we are very underserved. We are just getting the first 3K location in this area of southern Brooklyn at all. There actually is... If you look at the map, it's nearly shocking to look at, because southern Brooklyn, there's no 3K locations up until just recently.
Well, that's because it's a new program. It was only allowed in certain areas. You know, they went
was a pilot program that expanded. You're right.
Right. So that's why it's taking time. Simple things, basic things, like getting the garbage picked up. How important is that to you? What will the focus of your office be?
Yeah, I actually am a big fan of clean streets, because I think clean streets and safe streets all intertwine. I am very familiar with the with Chaim's budget, we'll say, in regards to how much was being allocated for sanitation and how much more I think I would put into it, because we have seen, you know, during the pandemic how things were cut. You know, we saw our parks overrun with shrubbery and trash. We saw our streets lined with garbage just on, you know, Avenue M, certain dumping grounds even farther down in the district that were just really, you know, not maintained. But I really am a big supporter of clean streets, because I think that is something that lends way into an entire mental health as well in the area.
And your office, will it be focused on helping people with all their issues?
And my office what? Sorry, go ahead.
Will it be focused on helping everybody with their issues?
Yes, definitely. So I've talked to so many people. I mean, not just in running for office, but I'm actually the chair of the Neighborhood Advisory Board in the area. And we allocate hundreds of thousands of dollars in federally funded contracts. And once every 3 years, we do this big survey that we talk to, you know, easily over 1,000 people in the area. And we find out their top needs. And while I was doing this, you know, even a couple of years ago, right before the pandemic started, there was a lot to do with mental health people were talking about that really needed addressed. And then since the pandemic, that need for mental health services has exponentially increased. I can't even put a percentage to that, but it has increased a lot. And one thing with the district office, once I'm elected, I want to be almost like a matchmaker, like almost like from constituent services, we're upgrading to, you know, personal concierge, because I want to make sure that we're matching people with what they need in a timely manner, if not immediately, especially in regards to the mental health. Right now, if someone needs an appointment with any type of mental health provider, there is a wait. There is a very long wait, usually. I mean, I can tell you it's definitely between like the 2 and 3 month range many times. And if someone needs, you know, seen and they need to talk about their problems and they need to address what's going on in their life, 2 to 3 month wait, that's not acceptable. You know, I want to help provide people more opportunities for resources, whether it be outlets for sort of an in-between life coaching or any other kind of resources. I want to give every single piece of that puzzle.
So an issue that's a very hot topic in our community is yeshivas and yeshiva education. Really doesn't pertain to the city council, but it's really a state issue, and the state is coming out with new, not recommendations, but what they want to see. Where do you stand on that issue, though?
You know, I'm very much aligned with, sort of what I hear coming out of, like, you know, the Aguda in terms of case-by-case basis. I think that things being addressed on a case-by-case basis makes sense. I think that we right now have a standard that guarantees children high-quality education. And if there is something falling through the cracks, we need to address that on a case-by-case basis.
Any last words? We have 1 minute to go.
One minute to go. You know, I just want to say, I've been in this community for so many years now, helping and whatnot, but I really am going to be the council member that treats everyone like family. You know, you can call me at any time. You can text my office. You can really understand that I'm here for you. I've been here for you. And anything you need, ask. And if we can't do it, we're going to refer to someone that can. And that's what it's about, the everyday details.
And if you want to get to Amber, go to her little boys, who are so adorable, and she'll get everything accomplished then.
100%. And you can check more out on my website as well, by the way, and including some new articles that just came out, www.amberadler.com.
Thank you very much. Amber Adler, candidate for the 48th Councilmatic District in Brooklyn.